Blog Talk Radio.
Liquid Lounge with Ken English, Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. BlogTalkRadio.com. Talking about the water side, above and below the surface. Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on BlogTalkRadio.com. Cruise ships, scuba diving, ecotourism, conferences, conventions, festivals, consumer and trade shows. The voice of the underwater network. X-ray online media. Copenhagen, Miami, x-ray-mag.com. Liquid Lounge with Ken English, Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com.
Greetings from Miami, Florida. This is Ken English. You're listening to Liquid Lounge. Today we're going to talk about the Northwest Dive and Travel Show in Tacoma, Washington, coming up this weekend. On the line with me is Peter Sun, publisher of X-Ray Magazine, digital publication. You can find it online at xray-mag.com. Peter, say hello to the people who are listening now and in the future.
Greetings from Scandinavia. I'm pleased to be on the show, and I look forward to have Rick Stratton join us later in the discussion from Washington State. When you do so, we will span 10 or 11 time zones with this discussion, so that's going to be exciting.
Well, it certainly works out very well from that perspective, you know, just to show the global reach. We did a similar show from Chicago. Now, this time, obviously, you're still in Copenhagen, so you won't be at Tacoma, and I'm still in Miami, so I guess I won't be there either. But we are able to hook up by telephone and let people know what's going on. Maybe you can give a little feedback, if you've gotten any, from the Chicago show, to some of the people that talked to you since then.
I've got a few emails, but again, due to the time differences and making international calls, I haven't actually spoken to people. But the Chicago show, us attending there, was an interesting experience because while we live in parallel and in many ways almost identical worlds, it was almost like reaching out to people from another planet. The community there, which is very lively and very interesting, have their local dive sites, and apparently there's a lot of them. I got handed this very, very interesting book by Chris Cole, which is, he's a very, very famous author on wrecks and dive sites in the Great Lakes area. And it was like, almost like the yellow pages of diving in that area. I think there was listed over 1,000 dive sites and wrecks. And a lot of this stuff is not really known in Europe. I mean, we've got our own great wreck sites and a lot of interesting dive spots over here as well. And in the same manner, when I talk to them about the options and opportunities and locations over here, they were sort of completely surprised by what was available. So it was a little bit like having this Stargate science fiction experience that you sort of been through a portal of time and space, and you come out in a like but yet different location, and a lot of things look, sound familiar, yet it is very, very different. And connecting across this, I don't know what we should call it, great distance in time and space was a very, very interesting experience, because you came to make completely new connections with other divers that was equally experienced and knowledgeable about diving, but yet you have only sort of vaguely heard about what they were doing. So that aspect of it was very interesting, and I look forward to develop these relationships with the local community around the Great Lakes.
Well, certainly I found it to be very interesting, and when you think about it, the history of the Great Lakes from transportation would yield a lot of ships down there, but most people think south. I laugh every now and then when I look at a map, it always has to be the North Pole at the top, yet from space, there was really no north and south. So when you look at a map from the north looking to the south across the Caribbean and in South America, if you're standing at the top, it feels uncomfortable because we grow up thinking the North Pole's got to be at the top and the South Pole's got to be at the bottom.
So you say there's sort of a big rift or division between divers in the south of the U.S. and in the north? It's like two different worlds there, too?
Absolutely. Different things to see, warm water versus cold water, and just a number, certainly the equipment, the travel distance, whether you can drive to a site. I'm amazed at the number of people that actually can dive in grottos, underground rivers. The state of Florida has very unique dive sites in the riverbed areas because of the nature of the soil. Europe has to be similar to that. There's a lot of out-of-the-way places to dive in Europe, aren't they?
Yeah, well, diving into caves is a completely different ballgame because, needless to say, that requires some level of technical training. But what I was wondering more about is whether, many of the avid divers you got down in Florida ever venture up north to experience cold water diving, like British Columbia or Newfoundland, or the wrecks off New York that requires dry suits and is, well, a completely different ball game than the warm water diving that you can do in a skinny suit and in a lycra suit or whatever down south.
Well, certainly most people in the United States think of going into the Caribbean to dive, or certainly the Pacific and places like that. If you're nearby the cold water, that's where you go. But warm water divers generally don't go back north. That's for sure. Hey, tell me a little bit about the publication and how it's changed. We're still waiting on Rick to call in, but if he doesn't, obviously with his show coming up this weekend, it's going to be a very difficult thing for him time-wise. We'll talk a little bit about it just by going to the website, which is NorthwestDiveAndTravelExpo.com, and we can talk about that, and some of the exhibitors that are there. But tell me a little bit about the publication. Tell people who are listening, perhaps for the first time, about X-Ray Magic.
Well, as we've talked about a couple of times before on our show, it is a digitally distributed publication. It is a magazine, which is formatted and optimized for screen reading. That way, we save on postage, we save on the environment, and we save costs for our readers. I come from a paper magazine background, but you didn't need a crystal ball a while back to see where the general trends were heading. And as the Asians in particular make a big issue out of, is that our magazine is environmentally friendly because you don't need to fell any trees to produce paper to distribute it, and you don't have any of the other hassle or cost with distribution associated with it either. So we're taking the classical paper magazine format and optimized it for screen reading, but we also sort of added some of the digital enhancements or extra features that you know from the digital world, such as hyperlinking that you know from websites. We can embed videos and audio files like you know from CD-ROMs. So we are taking the classical paper magazine and morphed it a little bit and embedded into the modern world reality, so to speak, making the best of all worlds. And if you go to the website, you can download all the magazine there as well. But if you look at especially the later issues that we made and open them, you will see they're still printable as a magazine. Will come out, look like a magazine, feel like a magazine if you print it out. But if you keep it online and on the screen, you will now be able to see embedded videos and sort of different effects that you will often see on CD-ROM presentations. So the old borders between the media have completely softened up, and you can be taken from the magazine onto our website and seeing video and back seamlessly. So in that way, we got not only one media, but a whole host of media that interrelates, and we constantly keep developing on this formula. So we're always at the cutting edge of what is possible and what the end users want.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hey, yeah, guys, I'm sorry I was late today, and so I'm here now.
Yeah, we were talking about the treasure hunt and a few other things, but why don't you just do it from the top and introduce yourself and tell people from your perspective a little bit about the Northwest Dive and Travel Expo.
But that's a big statement. Well, first for me, I'm Rick Stratton. I'm the owner and publisher of Northwest Dive News, founding publisher, and also the creator of the Dive and Travel Expo. As Dive Expo is really kind of a combination of a trade show and a consumer show. And it allows the diving consumer and the non-diving consumer an opportunity to see a snapshot, essentially, of our industry in just a few hours. They can come into the expo. They can see everything from what kind of gear to use in our sport, its approximate cost, what kind of training is involved, its approximate cost, what kind of travels might be available, and its approximate cost. They really can get a snapshot of our whole industry just in a few hours. It's pretty cool.
Tell me a little bit about the kids' approach. I've been looking at the website and the snorkeling initiative. That kind of approach is getting younger people involved. Why are you doing that?
Well, the future of our planet, the future of our world, relies in our kids. It's not going to be in our hands as decision makers. We've got, 20 years left or less until we're old fogies and no longer going to be considered decision makers, and they have our future. So I think it's incumbent upon us as their parents or their influencers or whatever to help pass on what we know and what we believe in, what we love. So I take that challenge very personally. That's my part of my creed as a mentor and a businessman and a father. So I've got my love of the ocean and the environment from my dad, so I'm giving that to my kids, and I'm offering my vendors and other people that I work with that same opportunity by reaching out to these 10-year-olds, 11- and 12-year-olds. We're introducing them to our sport at a younger age where they really can get excited about it. They can take up this industry or this sport as a lifelong passion. It's an impressionable age. It's a perfect time to outreach to them. And besides that, it's a whole lot of fun. I couldn't imagine a more fun experience than getting to go snorkeling with my 10-year-old daughter. And so I'm just trying to make that world open for other people.
Well, one of the important things that I think is being left out of the promotion for diving in general is the beginner level. The Be a Diver campaign is great, but if you're not a snorkeler first, you're probably not going to jump right in and be a diver. You know, and too many times, I live in Miami, and there's virtually nothing to see snorkeling-wise. There needs to be some attractions. We have the world's only underwater margarita bar in 20 feet of water, less than 200 yards from the shore. And nobody knows about it except me, because I was involved in the festival to put it down. And it was the intent was to make a snorkeling trail. But there's other things that we can talk about with that, but where do you snorkel in the Northwest?
Well, you know, every dive starts out with a snorkel. Every diver, I think, starts out as a snorkeler at some point. Really, it's, you know, with part of swimming. When you put the mask on your face, if you don't have a regulator in your mouth, you need to have a snorkel in your mouth to breathe, and you're snorkeling. Whether you're going out to the dive site before you put your reg in and become a diver. So it's that entry-level activity to our sport and our industry. We should be considered snorkelers part of our industry. They're divers. It's just a pre-diving position. They're part of our industry, and we should consider them part of it, and we should allow them full access to it. Every trip should have a sort of snorkeling portion of it. There's tremendous snorkeling. Essentially, because we're here in the Northwest, the reef line is at the shoreline, and that's a perfect place in the Sound, in Puget Sound, to snorkel, because we don't have the intense wave action that you might have in the California coast, for example. California coast, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10-foot seas are common, right? Not in the Puget Sound. Puget Sound, that's rare. And so we've got an amazing snorkeling.
Well, Peter and I were talking about the amazing, when we went to Chicago, we were surprised at the amount of wreck activity in Lake Michigan. Certainly because of your historic area of Puget Sound and all of that that's up there, there's got to be a lot of different things at different levels. But Peter, before we go too much more into the show, snorkeling, is that something that you're covering in your publication? And you haven't said hello to Rick yet, so go right ahead and do that now.
Well, not really. We're trying to give the content a little bit of a different slant, as I see diving is just a means to an end and not an end in itself. What we really want to be about is good experiences in the big blue realm out there. And, I mean, by all means, if somebody someday invents human gills, as much as I love sometimes polishing my dive gear, I'll just push it into the rear of the garage and then go out trying new artificial gills. So, no, we don't really cover snorkeling per se, but it is something that we may pay a little bit more attention to for sure.
Well, if you do a publication,
can I?
Please go ahead.
If I could pitch in on that, Peter, I think that's just a perspective issue with relation to what we do. What we really do as publishers, and I'm speaking for you, and you're welcome to disagree with me if you like, but is we inform, educate, and inspire. So our stories, as we tell the story of the industry, as we tell the story of the sport, as we share the passion, interacts with all levels of consumers. From that former diver who might enjoy to regale the story about his glory days when he was a diver, to those pre-divers and snorkelers. Each one of us is a different level, but we're all sharing the journey. And that's what we do as publishers. We share that journey when you're sitting on the coffee table or in front of your computer. Now we're sharing the journey. At whatever level that it engages that reader, we still have something to offer.
Oh, absolutely, I subscribe to that view as well. I see us ourselves as both educators, but also like infotainers, one way to raise ocean awareness and appreciation of what is out there is plainly just to show it. It doesn't necessarily mean that everyone can participate in everything. I mean, we covered diving in mini-subs to the North Pole, and somebody probably did the dive into the Titanic, which is beyond what most of us can do, but we can still sort of really enjoy it in many ways.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, that we can engage the public at a different levels too, because we deal with the absolute neophyte, person who has no appreciation for our sport and industry. They really are a newbie beginner to the absolute expert. And we run the gamut with those people, and our job, the way I see it, is to be that liaison to the reader, to translate the information in a way that they can relate to at whatever level that they're at personally.
Yeah, and I actually like the term translation because that is pretty much what I feel it is all about. I come from originally for this from the scientific community. I'm a trained biologist, and one of the big problems I saw for the scientific community is that you have all these bright researchers doing amazing research, and they only published it in their dusty science journals, and they debated the matters at scientific conferences with their peers. But did it ever penetrate outside that community? In some cases it did, because some of the big science journals, public science journals like Scientific American and New Scientist, would have the occasional science journalist trying to grasp the essentials and put it into a normal language. But they could only do so much. And what I have seen, and one of the reasons I actually went into diving is because I came from that world. I did aquatic ecology as a scientist. And I could just see that in so many instances, interesting research, interesting knowledge did not really come out of the scientific libraries. The guy across the street, my aunt, my nieces, the guy between the behind the counter down in the convenience store, he had no clue. And yet, you have a lot of funds, a lot of money, a lot of effort going into doing all this research. And what good does it do if nobody knows about it?
Absolutely.
So one of my points of going into like doing a dive publication, which is not really a dive publication but an ocean awareness publication, was to convey a message of what's really out there, and as somebody once said, you cannot really protect what you don't love or understand. So it is our job as publishers, that it is what the way I see it, is to create that love and understanding, because that's the only way we can protect our planet, to get other people to see it our way, so to speak.
No, I share that 100%. I think you're absolutely right.
Rick, talk a little bit about the show itself now, your show, the film festival. I'm looking at online, so I mean, that's where I'm starting to just pull out some things that I'd like you to elaborate a bit on. What do you do at a film festival? Is it just chairs with a little screen, or is it a nice theater that you're in?
You know, that's a good question, because nobody knows what to expect. And the answer is, it's an evolving process. What we're going to do this year, I'll describe it to you, but that may not be what I'm going to do next year. What we're doing this year is we're taking over the main ballroom at the Hotel Murano, which is right next to the convention center. At 6:30, we're going to show a film for about an hour. It's called The Drop Zone. And it was produced by Patty, Sport Diver Magazine, and Body Glove. It shows the life of surfers, professional surfers, in relation to diving. And the fact is that there's this cross-pollinization between these two cultures that's really kind of amazing, and it's kind of the future of our industry. And we've been talking about it in a little bit of a sense, but not as directly as they do. And so we'll profile that as music, it's fast-paced, it's set to the younger market, it's something that's going to engage a non-diver. So hopefully they'll be pumped up when we get done with that. And then at 7:30, we're going to do a film festival, it's not really films, it's a mixture of both stills, video, and presentations, or audio presentations, to describe some of the different diving throughout the world. So we're going to be talking about about 10 minutes. Larry Boucher from Scuba Systems in Illinois. He's a world-renowned diver and trip leader, and he went over to Glenbaugh Strait, and he has about 10 minutes of the incredible video from there showing the diving. So that's just one of our speakers. We'll have about 10 of them. One of our another speakers will be John Chatterton. John will be talking about his latest adventures with regard to projects he's working on, and to the Discovery Channel, his experience with the Britannic, Andrea Doria. He's got a presentation. So it'll be a mix of different videos, speaking, and entertainment that kind of shows, I'd say, the higher-end side of our industry, people who've taken it to a different level than your average sport diver is ever going to see.
Peter, you want to say goodbye for the night, since you're in Copenhagen?
Yes, indeed, and thank you for hosting us once more. So greetings to everyone in the society, dive society, listening into the show. Greetings from Scandinavia, and have a pleasant night.
All right, Peter, thank you very much. This is Ken English. You've been listening to Liquid Lounge from Miami, Florida. Peter Science called in from Copenhagen, Denmark, and Rick Stratton was in Tacoma, Washington. He's getting set for his show this weekend. You can check it out online at northwestdiveandtravelexpo.com. Next week we're going to do it again. We'll talk about the waterside and some of the activities that are taking place out there. Have a great day. This is Ken English from Liquid Lounge. Goodbye.